Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space, time, cards, and everything else. I am your substitute host, Scott Lance, a.k.a. Slance, and this week I'm joined by our other substitute host, Redbeard.
Hello, Scott, and hello, listeners. Josh Augustine is out celebrating the birth of his child, so this week the inmates are running the asylum.
Yes, we are. Josh is going to be sorry that he turned over the keys to us. So, in true Happy Hearthstone fashion, let's start with why we are happy. And I am happy to, well, as always, to be on the podcast, of course. I'm also happy for Josh having a baby. That's no small feat.
No, that's a really big deal. For a guy as busy as he is, too, it's going to really amaze us even further by the amount of things he's able to do.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll keep up on the podcast once he's settled, but I know that transition can be a big deal. Anyway, in Josh's absence this week, Redbeard and I will be taking to the streets. We are going to be having ourselves a good old-fashioned deck battle. These deck battle episodes are something that Josh likes to do about once a month, give or take. And so the typical formula is Josh plays the reigning champion deck, and the guest host brings on their favorite deck onto the show and challenges that champion. This time, however, I think it's the first time we've had the returning champion back to drive his own deck. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Josh did a really good job defending my title in my absence, but I'm glad to come back and give another showing on the podcast with it. Are you ready, Scott?
Well, I don't know. I feel like you won a tournament with this deck before you brought it on, and mine was just the novelty deck. Although it did make Josh rage quit one evening, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So the way
see if I can make you rage quit.
Yeah. I would be impressed. So the way these deck battle works are that first Scott is going to tell us about his deck and how it works. And then we're going to go off and play a best of three match. And the winner of that match will either become the new champion or return as the champion. And since Scott is here with his new deck, he's put together his full deck list along with some commentary for the deck he's going to be playing today so that you can build it at home and try it out in your local casual, ranked, or friendly games. And all of that will be posted on GameDiplomat.com after the episode goes up and alongside it. So, Scott, why don't you tell us the theme of your deck before people run off to start building it right away?
So, the theme of this thing, I call it Survival Paladin, and it's got this gimmick where most of the creatures in the deck have either Divine Shield or something that kind of doubles along those lines, like a Harvest Golem that can come back to life when killed. It also runs Redemption, so that if something does die, it'll spring right back to life. And it's got like an Argent Protector to be able to sprinkle some around. I also recently fortified it with some taunt creatures, because I was finding out that when I played it online, I was just getting steamrolled by aggro decks. So to try to make it a little more general purpose, it now has some aggro and some taunt and a little bit of healing as well.
All right, that sounds pretty good. Resilient minions, keep yourself aboard. So once you've got that resilient board in place, how do you actually win the game?
Well, and it's kind of like a weenie deck from Magic. It's if you can manage to just keep attacking, and as long as these things live, I can keep attacking turn after turn. And if I've got five guys on the board, and even though they only have two toughness, I mean, that's still 10 damage in a single turn. And that's often, not always, but often where this deck will get to is, like, this deck, more than I think any other deck I've ever played, my board gets full to where I just can't play any more minions.
Right. I guess that can be a hazard of having minions that are hard to kill, is they tend to stick around a long time and gum up the board. Okay, so I can see how that would, you know, crush the souls of your enemies, not being able to get rid of anything you're playing. Tell us about some of the key cards that help you stick your minions on the board and push through that damage for the win.
Okay. So one of the key cards is Redemption. And it's not exactly... So we talked about Redemption, I think, as the card of the week, about a month ago or so. It's not an individually strong card, but it synergizes well with the theme of this deck. So if you've got... Oh, geez, and I'm forgetting the name of this thing offhand, but the 3-1 guy with Divine Shield. So if he dies...
Scarlet Crusader?
Yeah, that's the one. So Scarlet Crusader, when he dies... and Redemption manages to fire, he comes back with one hit point, but he also comes back with Divine Shield, which actually is his normal state. So here you get a full 3-mana-cost creature back for a 1-mana-cost spell, which is a great bargain. And I can't tell you, I've actually had enemies concede when they, you know, like an early start and they, you know, where I've got 2 creatures on the board, they've got 2 creatures on the board, they're thinking, oh man, I gotta get rid of that Scarlet Crusader. So they throw both their guys at the Scarlet Crusader and then he pops back to life good as new, and then they just concede right away. That is the best feeling, and that does happen.
Yeah, that can be really frustrating when you throw 2 cards at something and it basically nothing happens.
Right? It's fantastic. So then another one is Blessing of Wisdom. And with all the Divine Shield, both like natively on the units, as well as with the Argent Protector, able to refresh it on certain units, Blessing of Wisdom, I found, can fire a lot more often. Like, I'm happy if I can just throw it on something before it attacks. It's like, well, I'm down a mana, but otherwise I haven't really invested anything here. And I've cycled 2 of my other cards that are even more on target, like on topic for the deck, on strategy. But with all the Divine Shield, I especially like to throw it on the little 1-1 guys, the Argent Squires. Because who's going to waste, like, 2 attacks or 2 cards trying to kill an Argent Squire with Divine Shield on it? If they're doing that, then they're leaving my bigger guys alone, so it's kind of win-win for me. So I like Blessing of Wisdom anyway. It just goes real far in this deck.
So is that pseudo-taunt factor the reason you prefer Blessing of Wisdom over something like Divine Favor that I see a lot of these Paladin Swarm decks using?
Yeah, so this... I think that Divine Favor works really, really well in super cheap aggro decks. And I guess this one's pretty cheap. Like, I use Divine Favor in my Shokuden deck, but I think it's more reliable in here. Like, Divine Favor, if you can't get significantly below the number of cards your opponent has, it's just worthless. Like, if you're only 1 card down, or worse yet, no cards or have more cards than them, that's a dead card. But Blessing of Wisdom always replaces itself at a cost of 1 mana as long as you have a minion on the board to attack. And this deck will, because of all the Divine Shield and, you know, the Harvest Golem, it'll always be able to attack with something somewhere. But it, with all the Divine Shield, it usually gets, honestly, on average, I probably proc it 2 or 3 total times, meaning, you know, I draw the card back and I draw 1 or 2 more cards as profit.
That seems like a pretty good return on your 1 mana. Tell me about Sun Fury Protector.
Yeah, so that one, the problem I was having with this deck, especially against aggro decks, is that they would bring out things that could attack just a little faster than me. Like, I'm bringing out small guys, they're bringing out small guys, they're exhausting their deck, I may have more stuff in hand, and over the long run, you know, I can keep trading with them, and my guys will live and their guys will die, but when they can keep dropping, like, charge or direct damage, then they can just finish me off, and I can't stop those charge creatures. So specifically, the Sun Fury Protector was meant to add taunt to the, you know, to the Harvest Golem or to the Scarlet Crusader, so that they have to bump into them twice usually. But more importantly, that my creatures are taking damage and I'm not, because otherwise they normally just ignore my creatures. And I noticed something else too, which is that by putting a little bit of taunt in my deck, and this sounds really, really counterintuitive what I'm about to say, but putting taunt in my deck allowed me to go from being defensive to being aggressive. And the reason for that is that a quality of being the aggressive player is typically that the other player has to attack your stuff. But I was finding they just weren't attacking my stuff. But by putting some taunt in there, they can't attack you. They're not in the lead. They have to attack your creature with taunt, which means you don't have to be spending your attacks, you know, taking care and neutralizing their minions. It means you can instead be hitting them in the face. That puts you ahead on life, and it actually makes you the aggressive creature. by using taunt.
Yeah, sort of like using Voidwalkers in the Warlock aggressive decks.
Mm-hmm.
Just get that cheap taunt down there and protect your minions. What else do you have?
So Blessing of Kings is another big one in this deck. You know, that's just a good card on its own, and I found it really helps kind of drive home for the win when you can get a big attack in. But it varies from game to game. Sometimes I'll throw it on my biggest thing to do the most damage and make it the hardest to kill. But especially if I'm playing decks with, like, you know, depending on the class, like if I'm playing a class with Assassinate or a Polymorph effect, I'll often throw it on the smallest guy I've got to really spread out my damage. So he can take out, you know, maybe one or two of my creatures, but then if I'm sort of making them all middle-sized, then, you know, he can take out my biggest one, but my other guys aren't far behind that in size. But anyway, it really helps because I can take out, like, a big thing on the board unexpectedly on his side. I can make him have to deal with that big creature when he didn't, you know, that wasn't his plan. And I can just do a lot of unexpected damage. I mean, I've drawn Blessing of Kings for the win more times than I can count.
Yeah, it pays to remember that Blessing of Kings has that pseudo charge effect.
Yeah.
Because the minion you drop it on can go ahead and attack with that big buff right away.
Yep.
So what's your fifth card?
And then the fifth one, I kind of copped out, but I said anything with Divine Shield, which is kind of sort of the rest of the deck. But that is the key to this deck, is there's just so much Divine Shield everywhere. And I guess if I were to list a specific card, oddly, it would be the, I think it's called the Blood Knight, which is the 3-3 that drains off Divine Shield off of creatures to get +3/+3.
Yeah, that guy's scary.
Yeah. And I actually have been wondering if I should use one or two copies in this deck, and the reason I didn't originally list it as a key card is because I'm only using one copy, and it's hard to say that it's a key card if I'm using fewer copies than I could. But the idea is that with that one copy, I will pretty much always get the mileage I want. Like if I have two of them, they're competing with each other. Like if I drop one, he's going to drain off all the Divine Shield on the board, but then I can't, there's nothing to drain for the second one. So just to make sure I get the most value out of playing that card, because he's actually kind of against the deck concept, not promoting it, I put one in. And I don't know if that's the right decision or not, but anyway, that could be debatably considered a key card.
Well, they do tend to get worse in multiples.
Yeah.
Since the first one eats all the Divine Shields.
Exactly.
All right, sounds like you've put a lot of thought into this deck. I'm looking forward to our upcoming match. As a reminder, the defending champion is me, and the defending champion deck is my Barbarian Warrior deck. Feel free to refer back to episode 29 if you want to listen to the notes about that deck. And I've already held off one challenger so far. So I'm excited to see how your Survival Paladin can take on my tournament winning deck.
I know, man. I'll be honest with you. I think this is where I'm supposed to taunt you and tell you how I'm going to kick your butt, but I'm a little scared.
It is where you're supposed to do that. And let me tell you, I've taken down, counting the tournament, 5 comers with this deck, and I am not about to stop.
Yeah, I should have brought my best tournament caliber deck, but here I am with this thing. All right, well, are we ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
And we're back.
Whew, my goodness, what a match.
That was a crazy battle. That was fun.
I mean, don't leave him hanging, Scott.
Well, it was more fun for me. How's that?
Yeah, yeah. It went the full 3 games this time.
It did.
Quite epic.
And you started off beating me down, as your deck does.
Oh, yeah, that first game was very, very strong showing for the Barbarian, and I was afraid it was going to be another one of the thrashings, but yeah, those number 2 and number 3, it just went to that long game, and I had nothing for you.
Yeah, the second game, actually, I think games 2 and 3, in both cases, I maxed out my board, and I was sitting there with creatures. I had the mana to cast, I had the minions in my hand, and I had no room on the board to put them down.
Yeah, I think I made a mistake in game 2. I could have pushed for more damage, but I played it a little safer because I forgot about some of the things that were in your deck. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Karen Bloodhoof showed up, Lay on Hands showed up, and Tyrion Forgering.
It's funny because those are the three big cards in the deck that, if they go long, just really help me drive it home. And that second game, I not only drew all three, I needed all three.
Yeah.
Because that was brutal. You came at me with two Arcanite Reapers, I think, on that second game.
I did.
You exhausted them in my face, and I'm like, what am I going to do?
I mean, my draw was actually pretty ideal that game. I had the classic, like, Fiery War Axe into Bloodsail Raider opening. I had both...
Two Bloodsail Raiders.
I had both Arcanite Reapers later in the game, and...
oh, my God.
It was all those extra life points, the health of Tyrion I had to fight through.
Yeah. Taunt. I just had a lot of taunt that second game, too.
Yeah. And the third one, too. Like, the taunts are what did it, because I'm not set up to be able to deal with, like, that large number of taunts.
Right.
I'm more ready to beat, like, one big taunt that's supposed to stabilize the whole game. But when it's just a series of small ones, it's very difficult.
Yeah, I think at one point I put down an Argent Squire, so a 1-1 with Divine Shield. I put the Scarlet Crusader, which is a 3-1 with Divine Shield next to him. And I put, was it Argent Protector, whatever his name is, in the middle. Protector.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy in the middle that gave them both taunt. So I was like, man, he's got to swing four times to get through this. Yeah.
Oh, it was so, so brutal. Oh.
Man, yeah. So I was... I hope the stream came through okay. I'm going to try and save it on Twitch. But the whole time I'm sitting there that first game, I'm like, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. He's got me. And then the second game, I'm like, And then, I finally stabilized. I'm like, I couldn't believe you got out your – I think it was a turn 3, 5-3, and a turn 4, 5-3. And I'm like, man, if I didn't have this consecration in hand and, just the logistics of the board were such that, like, I think I gave taunt to the 1-1 to make you go through him
because
I knew that would soften him up
for
the consecration. But then you brought out the second one. I'm like, ah. So I had to throw my 2-3 into him. But by the end of the second game, I was starting to get cocky. I was like, bring it, pirate.
Yeah, it was just rough. So that makes you and the Survival Paladins the new reigning champions of deck battle.
Woo!
Yeah, I wish I had a little more fanfare. I'll send you the pieces of the crown. You have to understand, when Dan finally had to hand it off to me, like, I don't know if it got broken up in shipping or if that's something that happened beforehand, but it was in little pieces, and I tried to tape it back together, but, it doesn't hold up very well.
Yeah. I'll just throw my redemption down, and that should fix it.
Yeah, that'll work out.
Which, actually, come to think of it, I didn't get my redemption off too much. I don't think I played it at all the second and third game.
No, you played it in the first game, and I dodged around it for
I noticed
many,
that. You were
many
dancing
turns.
With Muhammad Ali around that thing.
You're
like, I'm not going to hit it. I'm not going to hit it. And finally, I made you, like... I think it was a charge of the
knife juggler. He betrayed
me. Knife juggler
got it. He was supposed to hit the Blood Knight there, but he hit the Scarlet, and you got him back.
With a shield, which allowed me then swing him back into your stuff. I mean, you still ended up winning that game, but that helped a little bit. But, and that's the problem I was having playing online is, like, I've got all these clever combos, but redemption only works if your opponent kills it on their turn. If something dies on your turn, redemption doesn't fire. So I couldn't just, like, throw him in kamikaze and have him come back as, like, no, you have to kill him.
Yeah.
And I think I drew literally zero taunt that whole first game. And I was like, where is it all?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're right. That was the problem I was having with the deck. That's why I started adding taunt, is because if my opponent can just walk around my stuff, it doesn't really help me that much.
Yeah, and as evidence of that, in game one you drew no taunt and I rolled right through you. In game two and three you drew taunts and I was just stymied. Like,
that's right.
And now I actually have to deal with these divine shields.
Yeah. So was it What was it like being on the other end of all that Divine Shield? Did it feel like you just couldn't kill that stuff?
Oh, yeah. By the end of the second game, or the third game, you were just playing cards, and I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I can't even think of a string of cards that I could draw that would get me out of this.
Yeah, that's by the end of that third game, you were playing like your, was it Argent Commander?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's a good card. Normally, yeah, I mean, it's yeah. like, I mean, you needed like a consecration or something.
Yeah,
you?
And I don't have anything like that.
Well, right, yeah, you're a warrior. I guess Whirlwind.
Whirlwind or... actually would have been good against that particular board, because yeah. most of it was one health. But
right.
I really wanted a Brawl, and I forgot to put that in my
yeah.
deck.
I was playing some guy the other day, and he let me get to a full like I. He was letting me get to a full board state. I'm like, why is he not playing anything? And then he was at 5 mana, and he still didn't do anything. I'm like, oh, he's trying to be clever and go for the 6-turn brawl here. Because he's going to kill all my things except one. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So I, like, flushed my hand. And it was, I think it was the same deck. But I didn't have a whole lot of the survival stuff going on that time. They were just, you know, just, like, normal drops.
Mm-hmm.
And I got him down to, like, 3 hit points, and I think he had the brawl, but he just conceded. Because, like, okay, so one thing lives, and it still just kills him next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Enough running over the thrashing you gave me in our heads. Let's move on to the community segment now.
Fair enough.
If that's okay with you, Scott.
Yep. Do you want to read the question?
Sure thing. Our question this episode comes from Rachel R., she wants to know, are there any iOS or Android apps out there that you found useful for deck construction and management? I saw some out there, but most had pretty bad reviews. I can handle this from the Android end of things. I looked into it on Google Play, and I found an app called Spellbook Hearthstone. It has a news feature where it gives you the Blizzard Hearthstone news feed, a card database, and a deck builder function. Pretty functional. It's free, minimal ads. I think you can pay a couple bucks to upgrade to an ad-free version. But I've used the little I've used it, it's served its purpose for me. What about iOS, Scott?
Yeah, so I likewise have done some research on iOS, and I downloaded a few in the early days of Hearthstone, but as would be expected from the early days, they were kind of bad and not really worth using. So, you know, here I am thinking it's a year in, there's going to be better apps. I'm looking through them, I'm looking through reviews. I actually downloaded a couple, paid for a couple. Don't do it. They're all bad. They're horrible. I can't believe it. I can't believe that nobody has put out a decent app yet. It's amazing. At least for iOS. So I haven't tried this myself, and I should have before the show, but you know, if Hearthpwn or Hearthhead is usable on a mobile device, that's probably going to be your best bet. But I just right now, I think it's a gap out there in the apps that none of them are very good yet.
My experience with that is you can use Hearthpwn on most mobile devices, especially if you download Firefox onto your phone instead of trying to use the onboard browser, but it is difficult because you're, you know, navigating on a very small screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ideal, but it can work. Your other option is, of course, just to take down notes for deck management in, you know, your sticky or whatever text file and transfer them to the game when you get home.
Yep, that's true.
Or we can all just wait for the game itself, Hearthstone, to come to our mobile platforms. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, or, you know, WoW had the mobile armory that had kind of tapped into a bunch of in-game features. I could imagine, I mean, as I'm speculating here, but I can imagine that, like, within the next year or two, Blizzard releasing a mobile app to, say, let you do deck building or check your daily quests or, you know, just, like, browse your collection or buy packs for that matter all through your phone. I mean, I think playing on a small screen might be a tall order, but I could see them allowing some of the peripheral functionality of the game.
Yeah, you know, nothing like that yet, but let's hope something's coming down the pipe. In Blizzard,
let's petition
we trust
them.
It trusts.
Yeah.
You know. Moving on, we have 2 iTunes reviews for you to this episode, starting with Andrew Kuhar, 5 stars. He says, even way back when, from his time on the PC Gamer podcast, Josh has always provided solid commentary in this format. He's come into his own here as an excellent and positive host, asking good questions and getting really meaningful information out of his guests. Being in the midst of learning how to excel at Hearthstone myself, finding this podcast couldn't have come at a better time. I've been on and off with this game, admittedly, but this podcast has helped me reconsider past rage quits by offering practical wisdom, game theory, and constructive tips. I feel like I'm learning more with every episode and seeing Hearthstone with a fresh perspective. Keep up the great work. And let me add his commentary. It's, you know, it's a lot easier for Josh to get wisdom out of his guests when they're so wise and talented as the ones he's been bringing on lately. Am I right, Scott?
I know. Yeah, he's got really, really good judgment in guests. It's amazing.
All right, Scott, will you read the next one?
Yeah, so this is by No Good. It says, this is hands down the best podcast dedicated to a single game. Like that's a tall statement.
Yeah, that's a high praise.
Yeah, like the title says, the first episode I listened to, Card Evaluation, increased my skill level to the point where I advanced 4 ranks. I would say I'm 2 to 3 times... I win 2 to 3 times more games. That's pretty big, too.
Mm-hmm.
No podcast has ever increased my skill in any game like this one. Well, you know, that episode in particular must have had an exceptionally good co-host.
Yeah, I can imagine.
If you want to learn more about Hearthstone, you've come to the right podcast. Thanks, guys. Anthony.
So thank you all for your gracious reviews, and we'll make sure to pass that praise on to Josh. Make sure that if you haven't already, you get into the iTunes store and submit a review of this podcast, because it helps get our voices out to the masses even more.
That's right. And actually, that's very true, because I know that the more listeners Josh has, the more he's inclined to put even more effort into it. And, you know, he puts a lot already. But it just really helps, you know, him know that it's worth the effort to have those listeners. And your reviews help get those listeners to the show and help step it up. So not to sound like a pledge drive, but seriously, do a brother a favor and get Josh some positive reviews, because he works really, really hard on this podcast.
Yeah, and if you don't happen to subscribe via iTunes, you might use some other podcasting service, make sure to submit reviews through there and send an email to Josh, and I'm sure he'd be happy to give you your shout-outs on the episodes.
Absolutely. And, you know, in a pinch, you could probably even do your shout-out on Twitter. Contact him on Twitter. Your friends will see it. That's probably pretty good, too. We're just signing Josh up for all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, here. Yeah. There's no way that this could be bad. So,
all right.
What's up next, Scott?
Well, somebody, we didn't quite make the deal this way, but we should have, to where the loser has to sing the Card of the Week song. I think that's our rule.
Okay. All right, here we go. Card of the Week. Card of the Week. Scott and Redbeard here for Josh Augustine, bringing you the Card of the Week.
Awesome.
thanks for the backup there. That was
a little
good.
Bit of percussion.
Yeah.
Totally ad-libbed, by the way. True story.
Yeah. So, our card this week is Jungle Panther. It's a neutral minion, 3 mana, a 4/2 with stealth. And Scott, you chose this one, so I'm going to let you lead it off.
I did, and I want to start by saying I get that it's a little boring for a card of the week. You know, normally we try to pick something with interesting abilities or something, and here's just a 4/2 stealth. But the reason I wanted to make this the card of the week is I have recently been getting more and more and more respect for this card. Originally, its low toughness kind of scared me away. I think after playing, I focused on aggro decks pretty heavily for a couple of months, and that gave me an appreciation, but then I started seeing like more and more circumstances where it's good. You know, it's got a number of qualities, but the high power, like the 4 power for 3 mana is pretty good. Stealth is kind of a poor man's charge, meaning it's probably going to live to get to attack, whereas a lot of minions, especially high-powered, low-toughness creatures, are vulnerable to being killed before they attack. And I like it. I removed one of my 4-mana-cost 3/3 Divine Shield guys out of my Survival Paladin deck and put in a Jungle Panther. And I did that specifically because even if it comes back from Redemption, it comes back stealthed as a 4/1, and I get to, you know, attack with him again.
Yeah, he can apply a ton of pressure to your opponent's life total if they don't aren't able to put something in the way of it. And a lot of, you know, four mana minions have four health, and this guy will just trade up with them. And you're always getting ahead when you can take your three mana play and trade it for their four mana play.
And you have to watch out for things like Consecration or multi-shot from a hunter. I mean, there's some stuff that'll hit it when it's stealth, and it will do two damage to it, but it's out of reach of the even the biggest threats in those situations are the things with the hit for one damage. So, you know, like Whirlwind or Knife Juggler or Wild Pyromancer. This is able to survive all those. That second point of toughness, it may not seem like a lot, but it really helps its survivability, especially when stealthed.
My favorite thing about the stealth is that it gets it, it protects it from, like, dying to weapons or, you know, cards like Backstab, where your opponent might be able to trade a lower mana spell for it. But with the stealth, you are guaranteed at least that one attack outside of, you know, AoEs.
Yep. And, you know, there's a class of cards that this is a trump for. And that class of cards are what I like to call the kind of bulky utility creatures. So I don't have a list handy, but, you know, like Demolisher is a 1/4. Armorsmith is a 1/4. There's a bunch of 1/3s like Northshire Cleric or Acolyte of Pain. It's awesome against Imp Master, which, you know, comes into play as a 1/5 but becomes a 1/4 at the end of the turn. This thing will bring it down in one hit and keep ticking. So like that whole class of low power, high toughness utility creatures, this thing will kill one of those and keep going, even though it's only got two toughness.
Yeah, so listeners, if you haven't caught on to the train yet, Jungle Panther, secret technology.
Jungle Panther train, woo woo!
And it's really good in Arena, too. Don't forget that. All right, that great show this week, Scott. We're going to move into the closing now. We'll be posting full show notes along with links to all the videos, trailers, and information we have about Hearthstone on the blog www.gamediplomat.com. Just swing by there and click Hearthstone at the top. Next show will probably be Adam coming on to talk about how to adjust your deck based on what you're playing against. And Josh wants us to let you know that if the next episode is a little bit delayed, it's because, you know, babies.
Babies. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can't live with them. Yeah, basically that's it. You know, not in any sort of human way. If you want to watch the video streams of our battle today, you can go to Slant's Twitch channel at twitch.tv/slants76, where he'll have it as a highlight, or you can go to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/redbeardplays, where I'll be posting the game videos, and periodically I post other Hearthstone videos that I happen to create, always with my own particular brand of commentary. As always, you can participate in the show's Google Plus community, which you can join by going to Google Plus and searching for Happy Hearthstone. There's also constant strategies and card debates going on in there, so it's worth checking out. As always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added for future episodes, so send your feedback through whatever channel you please, Google Plus, Twitter, email, or just leave a comment on the blog at gamediplomat.com. Scott, you want to know how the folks out there can contact you?
Yeah, send me a tweet on Twitter at slants76, that's S-L-A-N-T-Z-76. I've been more active on Twitter. It's pretty cool. Probably about 2-3 months ago, I started becoming more active, in large part to this podcast, and it's been great. People asking questions, and I post various screenshots from Hearthstone of just crazy game states. I think I posted one the other day where my opponent had, and I'm not exaggerating, 5 giants on the board. I got him down to 2 hit points and thought I was going to close it out before he could hit me. He brings out a Lord Jiraxxus, gets up to 15 hit points again, and I still managed to win by top decking a Blessing of Kings. So screenshot of that on Twitter, which is fun. Also, my Twitch channel is Slant76. I don't stream all that often. I do from time to time, but I do save highlights of the best stuff, so those are kind of fun to watch, and the highlight of this match will be there as well.
Personally, I'd like to apologize to anyone who followed me on Twitch after my last episode. My hardware decided to, have some sort of nervous breakdown, so I'm not able to stream right now. But I am on YouTube. You can find me by searching William Stevenson or at the URL Redbeard Plays. I'm also new to Twitter, at WStevenson86. That's WStephenson86, just like my name. So if people start sending me messages on there, I might become more active the way that Scott here has.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it was fun playing you. This is for the audience if they didn't pick it up. Redbeard and I pretty much just met tonight doing this episode, but I think, good chemistry, and I had a lot of fun playing you, man. Those were really good games.
Yeah, those were really tight. I feel like I was playing some of the best Hearthstone of my life and still not quite getting there.
Well, I had a lot of fun, and this sounds cheesy, but I actually mean it. Like, deep into that third game, it occurred to me, like, I don't care if I win or lose. This is awesome. This is good Hearthstone right here.
Yeah.
Like, this is as good as it gets.
You don't get a chance to play, like, serious like that very often, because there's hardly ever anything on the line.
Yeah, and it was a close match. It was a good opponent. It had all this build up, which you don't normally have. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I actually forgot to well played you at the end of game two because I was so into the match. Like I was just thinking about getting into the next one and what I did wrong in that one. And that's
I had the luxury happened. Of kicking back on that one.
So,
all right.
Thanks for joining us as we fumbled through an episode in Josh's absence. I'm sure he's going to edit this together and make us sound like real podcasting pros.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. And thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. And hopefully we'll see you next time. Bye.
See you, everybody.